Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you join the show. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. And you guys on the phone lines. It is a football Friday, but let's be real. That's not the top of mind. We'll get to the Eagles. The game on Sunday against the Browns. What Jalen Hurts said this week. But Hugh, good morning. We got to start with the Phillies as we continue to sort through the rubble here after the season came crumbling down. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. Hey. Flyers hockey start tonight, 10 o'clock. Make sure y'all catch a nap and get ready.
For Meatscog?
Yeah.
You ready?
I'm ready. I'm excited.
I'm getting a sense that Mr. Black Hockey might return at some
He's
point
in
today.
The building.
Uh-oh. All right, we'll get to that. Obviously, a lot of Eagles to go on a football Friday. Scott Fransky joins us at noon today. But, Hugh, today is an interesting day because yesterday I saw something, and maybe I missed something. Maybe I didn't realize this was such a hot button issue and didn't realize the Phillies were undecided on something. You know, the day after a playoff series ends or the team gets knocked out or the season ends, the question becomes, will the coach be back, right? Will the manager be back? That's natural. And yesterday I heard on the morning show, they were talking a little bit about it. And a lot of their audience yesterday said they wanted Topper out of here. Well, that's fans. That's one thing. But when people in the industry, when reporters start saying, it's on the table, it gets my attention. Yesterday, Bob Nightingale, after the Braves changed their staff a little bit, they moved on from some hitting coaches. Bob Nightingale put this out there. Now that the Braves have fired three veteran coaches, all eyes in the industry will be on Philadelphia. The Phillies will have evaluation meetings and decide whether to bring back manager Rob Thompson or make other staff changes. Hugh, yeah, Topper Watch has begun here. This is 3 years, two plus years, right? Almost three full years, but two plus years as Rob Thompson is the Phillies manager. He has taken the team to the World Series, the NLCS, and then, of course, getting knocked out in the Division Series this year. They have made the playoffs all 3 years. They've gotten better in the regular season, but they've gotten worse in the postseason all 3 years. And here's the real thing that I think is important to note. Last year, when the season ended and they made it to the LCS, they gave him a contract extension. But that was only 1 year on top of what he had, which means this. Rob Thompson is set to be a lame duck in 2025.
So it's not a good place to be.
It's not. The way I view this, Hugh, is they have one of three choices. They could keep him and keep him as a lame duck. That's awkward, though. They did this with Girardi in 22. That was ugly and uncomfortable. They could extend his contract, though that might get people annoyed after what just happened here. Or they could fire him. And it feels like a lot of people believe they could and should fire him. Let me get on the record and we'll go around the room here to start it off. 215-592-9494. I want Rob Thompson to be the manager next year. Yeah. I'm a Topper guy. I would keep him. I recognize he has had some tough moments in big spots. But just this particular season, this particular playoff run, I don't put this on him. I put this on the players. Did he make a couple of questionable moves? Sure, the Hoffman thing in game four, and he probably cooked in the sixth inning. But I don't think Rob Thompson cost him the series. I think Topper has done overall a very good job here in Philadelphia. I would keep him as my manager in 2025. I want Topper back. This is on the players, not him. I feel like he's helped establish this team, come back to being a consistent winner again, which they were not under Gabe, which they were not under Girardi. They are that now. Hugh, I would keep Topper. I know a lot of people out there today are probably going to be on their side. Hugh, where do you come down as the Phillies are going to make a decision on Topper?
You know what? This is a tough one, Joe. And I'll say this. I like Topper, and I think that he should be the manager. But he is the conductor of the train thus far. And for whatever reason, and I put it on the players, but for whatever reason, they haven't been able to get over the hump. Mm. And when you look at the postseason, if you're being honest, they regressed. Now, I'm not the one that like to make changes for the sake of making changes, but something has to give. And when I think about Topper and the situation that he's in, I think about Coach Dungy and how he was in Tampa and how they kept, for whatever reason, hitting their head against the wall and not being able to get over the hump until they made moves and got over the hump with John Gruden. Now, I don't know if we are in that position, but something has to give. You can't go into next season with the way that this team is presently constructed and expect different results. Now, there are some good things that he did during the regular season. Like, you know, you finally won the division.
Yep.
And that was something that you set out to do. You got off to a fast start. That was something that you set out to do. But for whatever reason, the way that this lineup is presently constructed and the way that he handles some of these guys, they're not getting it done in the postseason. And that's the most important thing.
Well, that's true. They're not enough. I mean, your point, they're not enough. And the Dungy-Gruden comparison is fair because some people might think a different voice gets this team over the top. It did with Gruden.
And I feel like there's a little bit of complacency there. You know, like Major League, like we always make fun, Major League buddies and all the other stuff. Sometimes you need to crack the whip, or sometimes there needs to be a feeling of uncomfortable. You need to be uncomfortable. I was about to say uncomfortability, but that ain't a word. But I was about to make one
that's
up.
That's a Friday.
Yeah,
we make up words.
I was about to make it up.
I feel like
that's the case. The one thing that I remember when Andy Reid came in, he made everybody uncomfortable because we were not his friends. Mm-hmm. Ray Bob, when he was here, I was only here for a year, but there was a level of comfort there where, you know, we knew he wasn't going to crack the whip. I think the whip needs to be cracked. I think that there are some guys on this team that they run upstairs the management a little bit too much. That's the perception. I'm not saying that that's the case. I don't know. I'm not a baseball player. But the perception is that certain individuals have certain individuals' ears, and they make it easier to make these moves. I think those ties need to be cut. I think that there needs to be a level of, you know, uncertainty when it comes into this next season. You know, about who's going to be here and what needs to be done, because this team is they've underachieved over the last couple of seasons.
Well, they underachieved this year for sure. There's no question.
And what makes it even worse? What's going to make it worse, Joe? Is if the Mets go all the way.
And they might. I mean, they might.
When you look at the NL East, and you look at the teams that have had success in a short period of time, if the Mets are one of those teams that does that, that's telling.
Oh, it's a gut punch. Well, the part on the Mets too is that owner has endless pockets, and they really haven't spent on star players in their prime yet. They're going to be around for a long time. 215-592-9494. I totally think it's fair what Hugh said, the comparison of the Dungy thing in Tampa. Let me make another comparison. I'll keep this one in the baseball realm. And Hugh, it's one you saw up close. You know, when I think there's a lot of comparisons and similarities between Brian Snicker in Atlanta, Rob Thompson in Philadelphia. Lifelong baseball guys, took them a long time to get their first managerial gig, and then they ran with it. Brian Snicker's first 3 years in Atlanta, lost in the first round, lost in the LCS to the Dodgers, including blowing a 3-1 lead. The 2020 Braves were up 3-1 on the Dodgers in the LCS. Mm-hmm. They kept Snicker around. Year four, they win the World Series that year without Acuna. That was an incredible job by Snicker. Sometimes you just got to let it marinate. I blame the players for what happened here. I was actually more frustrated with Topper last October, the way he managed a Diamondbacks series. I mean, you want to call and yell about Jeff Hoffman the other night? That's fine. I'm going to tell you Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper, and they didn't hit enough. I mean, like, if they don't hit enough, the manager is screwed, and every bullpen move he went to didn't work. Is that him, or is that the bullpen? He put Strom in big moments. Strom sucked. He put Hoffman in big moments. He sucked. He put Estevez in. That's the big deadline acquisition by Dombrowski to get the best Mets player out, and he hit a grand slam. If they fire Topper, could they get a better manager? Sure. I mean, baseball managers, that happens all the time. But I just feel it would be a scapegoat. I feel like if Dombrowski has a press conference next week and fires Topper, I hope the questions are, hey Dave, what about your deadlines the last 2 years? What about Whit Merrifield as the biggest addition to the team you gave the guy to manage this season? I would keep Topper. I don't want to fire him. 215-592-9494. Hugh, I think I messed up enough to start the show. You got a Daily Douglas for us?
That was it. The Flyers.
Oh, the Flyer. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. No, because it was like I knew we were going where we were going, okay. And I tried to make it a little bit, you know, exciting for people.
There we go.
Yeah. Now, the Flyers.
My headspace is back now. Kyle, what are you thinking? Would you fire Topper?
So here's why I kind of changed my tune on this.
Okay.
Because I'm not even hung up on any of the managerial decisions in the NLDS, I don't put the NLDS on Topper. Like, the offense is paid more than $500 million.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't show up. The bullpen completely folded. I don't think there was too much Rob Thompson could have done, like, in-game move-wise. So I'm not even worried about that. I usually don't get hung up on that kind of stuff in general. I usually always put it on the guys who are out there performing on the field. What I noticed that made me change how I feel about Rob Thompson, and here's why I will make the argument that he should not be back next year. This team really seems to have, now that we're done, taken their foot off the gas, lost their edge, lost their focus, and all this talk about, you know, we were hoping we were just going to flip a switch, you know, stay the course, this and that. Who does that sound like? That's everything that Rob Thompson has been saying to us, to the media all the time. Oh, they're resilient. You know, they'll slug eventually. It'll happen eventually. Offense is weird like that. Baseball's weird like that. That's how these players all talked after they lost the NLDS. It was like, oh, well, you know, like we just weren't hot at the right time. Like, that mentality to me seems like it's coming from Rob Thompson. So, like, if you were to tell me you were going to get a guy is going to come in here and make people feel a little bit uncomfortable, it's time to be uncomfortable. This should be an uncomfortable offseason for the Philadelphia Phillies, both for the players and the manager. Like, nobody should be safe after a failure like that. And I just don't see a path, you know, besides signing Juan Soto to $600 million, which seems like that's a bit of a far-fetched idea at this point. What's going to rock this Phillies roster, this organization, the clubhouse? What is going to make them feel like, you know what, I better get it together right now or my ass could be on the line? And that's getting the manager that everybody loves out of there. Like, you need to send a message to the guys on that team that, like, this is not acceptable. I mean,
have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's precedent for this. Dave Dombrowski, when he was with the Red Sox, won 93 games back-to-back years and lost in the ALDS.
Yeah, John Farrell.
16 and 17. Fired Farrell. Brought in Cora. 2018. They win the World Series. Sometimes it's just that little thing that it's really the best and only easiest lever for them to pull is to get the manager out of here and just go from there. And I love Topper, but that might be what they're left with.
It could be. It could be. I look, here's my thing on this. I think he's a good manager. I don't think he's the reason they haven't won the World Series the last 3 years. It's the players. I feel it's a scapegoat move. And look, Alex Cora is a great manager. I don't know if there's a great, great manager out there. Terry Francona just went to Cincinnati. Alex Cora signed a contract extension in Boston. If I could have one of those guys, sure. See you, Topper. I don't know if that guy's out there. 215-592-9494. Let's hear from Rob Thompson. The other night, Rob Thompson believes they still have a World Series team here. Let's hear from Rob Thompson on this team still being a World Series team.
Do you believe that this roster, given the results from the last 3 years, and I know it's changed some, but not a ton, do you think it has the capacity to win a World Series?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, like I said, there were times during the ebbs and flows of the season where you get into a rut, and it happens in the postseason too. And unfortunately, it happened at the end of the Arizona series last year and this year. But that doesn't mean that things won't change next year.
Well, that's the hope. But now, as we wait, it's Topper Watch officially on the Midday Show today. As we wait for the Phillies to make a decision on Rob Thompson. And again, he only has 1 year left on his contract. This is lame duck next year, extend his contract, or just get him out of here and get a new manager. I keep coming back to this. I think he's a good manager. I think he's helped stabilize this thing and make them a consistent winner, which they were not for a long time before this. And I don't blame him for what went on here this October. I think this is above him. I think it is on the GM for not adding more to this team. And I think it's also on the players. Like, man, this would be the definition of a scapegoat move. That's the way I view it. Dombrowski'd wash his hands of him just screwing everything up for the last 2 years. And let's just wash our hands of the players. It's not my fault if I'm Dave.
Yeah,
not...
but that's exactly what it is.
I know, but then why are we doing it?
Because it's one of those things where the players, I look at it like this, and I've always felt like this. The year that Ray Rose got fired, we didn't do enough to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, that was because we got complacent. And it's one of those things that when you talk about money's involved, and that's the problem, Joe, because when you talk about this team and making it better, the biggest issue that we're running into is the financials. You're talking about, what, $500 million at the top of the order?
He's the easiest switch to push.
And that's the thing. And you talk about guys saying one thing but doing the polar opposite. We heard all last week about how, you know, we were going to change our approach and how we got to, you know, work the at-bats and all this other stuff. It happened at spurts, but it didn't happen consistently enough where it became, you know, second nature. And you got caught. So who are you going to blame for that? You're not going to blame your $300 million hitter. You're not going to blame him. You're going to look at the coaching staff and say, what were you doing to what did you do to help him not do that?
I hear you. And he might go. I mean, look, it's out there that the Phillies are going to evaluate this thing. Let's hear from JT Realmuto. This really brings us to Kyle's point of the mentality of the team down the stretch of the season. JT saying the Phillies, they were hoping to just flip that switch on when October arrived.
Well, it's baseball, man. I mean, it's just a hard game. It's hard to stay hot for 162 games. And we were just hoping that, you know, we knew we weren't playing our best baseball coming in the postseason, but we were hoping once the lights turn on, we'd flip the switch and our offense would get back going. And it just didn't happen for us.
So it didn't happen. And maybe this is on Topper for the way he handled that down the stretch of the season. Here's what I know, though. I've seen three managers have this core. Okay, now it's changed a little bit and it's evolved. This core it's not the same now as it was in 2018, but there's certain parts of this in 2019, 2020 that are still here. Two of the managers that were here before couldn't win with this team. They couldn't win with Bryce Harper. They couldn't win with JT Realmuto. And those managers, by the way, Joe Girardi has a World Series and Gabe Kapler went to San Francisco, won 107 games. So maybe they weren't good here, but they won other places. They couldn't win with this group. Rob Thompson got to the World Series with this group. And now 2 years later, we're knocking him out of here? I'm not. I want him back for next season. 215-592-949. Let's go to the phone lines here. Where do you come down on this? Do you want Rob Thompson back to manage the Phillies next year? Yesterday's morning show, about 50% of their poll did not want Topper back. Hugh and Kyle over here greasing the skids to say goodbye to Topper. And listen, I'm not mad at you guys.
I'm not greasing the skids. I just know how this works.
I know you do.
And I know how it works.
Nothing you guys have said is off base. You know, that's how the sport works. It's pro sports. If Topper has to go, he goes. I'm not going to lose sleep tonight. I would bring him back, though. Yeah, that's all right. We say goodbye to Topper, and we expect the next manager to fix the problems. That's fine. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy Football Friday, man.
Good morning, Chris. What are you feeling today?
Here, I got the answer for you, Joe.
Okay.
Hey, Kyle and Hugh, you ready to watch Joe flip and join your side?
No, what do you got?
JT's comments. Do they sound eerily similar to what we heard coming from the Eagles players down the stretch of last year?
Yeah, they do.
You still want to keep Nick Sirianni then?
So Chris, now you did poke my, you did, yeah, you poked me, you got me with that one. But here's what I'll say. The football coach has to help with strategy and, like, putting the players in better positions more than the baseball manager. Like, I don't think Sirianni brings anything strategically. In baseball, it's different, right? Like, he can't really do anything for Bryce Harper besides put him in the lineup batting third and you hope he hits like he always hits. Like, the football coach matters more, so it bothers me more. But I get you. The mentality, that bothers me. I'm with you on that.
Hugh, how are you feeling? Your stomach a little upset? A lot of spinning that just went on right there from Mr. Joe.
I'm okay. I mean, you know, that's my guy.
All I know is the last two managers here couldn't win with Nola, and they couldn't win with Wheeler, and they couldn't win with Bryce, and they couldn't win with JT.
Yeah, I know. Now you want to keep Rob Sirianni, okay? Guys, listen, key points here. You said this before. Gruden went on to win with the Bucks. Dungy went on to win with the Colts. Sometimes that move works. And I have a little bit of energy today, and it's negative energy, so I'm just going to let it out because I got to clear my head, all right? Guys, dude, this is nonsense, all right? We have all this talent. Why? Why do we underperform, okay? Why? Why is there a lack of discipline, which is purely and solely on display whenever Bohm goes out there and starts stomping his feet and throwing his binky around and acting like a petulant child? And again, they have no fear. They have no fear of consequences. We had Castellanos, who stunk in the beginning of the year, but he kept letting him play every game because Castellanos wanted to play every single game. What are we doing? Are we here for a championship, or are we just here to appease our players? And are we here for the vibes, and we're reshuffling what the core values are going to be? Because that's what it all feels like to me, all right? Choking, the choking under the bright lights of the playoffs is evident of one thing, a mentally weak, soft team, and a weak, soft run group with a weak, soft leader, all right? A message needs to be sent to Mr. Middleton. If you're listening and you want your bleeping trophy back, send a message. The loser excuse-making coaching fed into all of this failure. Fire Rob Thompson! Let's go, Flyers!
Chris, appreciate the phone call. All right, so a very fired up Chris wants a fire topper out of here. All right, that's let's just scapegoat the manager, move on, get a new manager in here. It's going to fix everything.
So I get that it's going to come off as a scapegoat. It might be a scapegoat, but, like, it's the only goat, really. If we're being honest about what happened in the NLDS, our best players, the guys we paid the most money, you know, besides Bryce Harper, Castellanos, the only two that showed up,
yeah.
Schwarber, Turner, Boehm, none of those guys hit. I mean, beyond Alec Boehm, I got news. Like, Schwarber and Turner are going to be here next year.
See, that's the problem.
They are.
I mean, it's one of those things. It's eerily similar to passing the buck, and it's the easy thing for people to do. And that's immediately what fans want because they feel like he's the problem. The problem is they let him down. He put them in a position to be successful when he took over, and they got too comfortable. Now you're in a position where, and that's how management's going to look at it. This is how it works. Management's going to look at it like, okay, what are you doing? What have you done to help them get better? Like, we were talking about the hitting coach and their approach and everything like that. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. So you're not gonna fire your $300 million guys. You're not getting rid of Bryce Harper. You're not getting rid of the top of the order. I think Kyle Schwarber has another year left on his contract, right?
One more.
So that's a situation that you're probably going to have to figure out. Those are the guys that are the problem, but it's going to be looked at like, what are you doing to help them get better?
I get that.
It's like the teachers. You know, the students aren't learning.
Yeah.
So the teacher, you look at the teachers, and the teachers are the one that gets in trouble.
Yeah, sometimes, though, the students got to be better.
They do.
Yeah, they got to be better. I look at this series, and two of the three biggest moments, he rode his ace for seven innings in game one, handed the ball to his two best relievers, they cough it up. In game four, we all give Ranger credit, but Ranger has almost 100 pitches by the fifth inning. He goes to his best reliever. And he coughs it up. He goes to the guy that was then brought here by Dombrowski to get the biggest out, and he gives up a grand slam. Well, I don't know what more buttons he's got to push.
I think his in-game moves and throughout the season. Like, Chris brought up the Castellanos letting him play the whole season. That worked.
Sure.
That was a button he pushed that worked. I don't think Rob Thompson is a bad manager. I actually think he's a good manager. I am wondering, is he the best voice for this team, for this clubhouse right now?
I know. You know what? I wish we weren't here. We keep having all these Sixers comparisons. This reminds me of the Brett Brown, Doc Rivers thing. Let's get another guy in here. Maybe it's them. Maybe it's them. You realize, and we're going to hear from Bryce on the other side. We'll get all your phone calls up. 215-592-9494. I believe we just completed Bryce Harper's 11th year in the major leagues.
Mm-hmm.
If they fire Topper, this will be the eighth manager Bryce Harper plays for in 11 years. Okay, you know, maybe we have to start looking inward instead of just pushing the easy button and getting the manager out. 2-1.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.